a while ago, I said that I wanted to every 4 to 6 weeks have a guest speaker. It's been longer than I think 6 weeks, but I really felt yesterday, you know, I went to this Science and Faith Conference at Faith Baptist Church in Rexford. It was a good conference, some good things in there, and I thought to myself ahead of time, you know, if I'm going to be there all day, it would be best if I had somebody else minister, and it was overdue anyway, because we want to give people opportunity, and many of you know Pastor Joe Catanese. He's with us, he and his wife Suzanne, and Pastor Joe, we've known him, Pam and I've known him, and his wife who passed away several years ago, Kitty, we knew them way back then, and they've been friends of ours, and he pastored for, I think, 33 years, in of all places, New Jersey. You remember one time they said about Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Our question is, can anything good come out of New Jersey? Amen. Well, Pastor Joe's come out of New Jersey, and so has Sister Suzanne. And so he's a seasoned pastor, seasoned minister. Now he's retired from pastoring, but he's pretty busy preaching in other places and a Bible study that he's got up there. And so let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Joe Catanese. All right? Amen.
Well, I got news for him. I was born in Manhattan. All right? I lived in Manhattan, and I lived in Queens, so forget about it. I was a refugee to New Jersey for a number of years, but praise God, I'm back. Good morning. It's so good to be back here again with all of you. Make you a promise, I will not sing. Amen. Well, praise God, it's good to be here. My charming, lovely wife, Suzanne, is with me today. Suzanne, why don't you stand up and give everybody a hello wave? Yeah, I was born and raised in Manhattan, and well, that's a long time ago because I'm not young anymore. But, you know, my mother said something. She lived to be 97. This will encourage some of you here. She said, if you live long enough, you get old. Well, good morning. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Jay, for inviting me back up here. Yes, I retired, but I'm just a little tired sometimes, but that's okay. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into the word today. Can you say amen to that? Amen, amen. Father, we bless you and thank you for the opportunity to be here in Schenectady, New York today with a crowd of eager beaver believers in this place. Well, we're going to load up on some truths from your word today and walk in victory that you've already given to us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Well, if you didn't say amen, say oh me. Hey, praise the Lord. Yeah, let me tell you a story before I even get into my message here. I remember quite a while ago, it was many years ago, maybe 30 years ago. I pastored for 33 years, but I was a pastor at the time, but I was in a department store. Remember department stores? So now it's Amazon store, right? So I was in this department store, and, you know, they were playing music in the background. I'm listening, and I heard a song playing, and these guys were singing. I said, oh, I know who they are. And that's Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. They're singing a song called Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. Just you remember them. And they were singing a song, and I hadn't heard that song probably in many, many years, since before I was saved, that's for sure. But they set a line in there. The guy who wrote the song was Stephen Stills, part of the group, and I found out that he was a Christian guy. But he had a line in the song that said, don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. And I heard that, and I said, whoa, boy, that is good, you know. That is really good. And, you know, one of my favorite movies is Scrooge, you know, with old Alistair Sim when he played Scrooge in Christmas Carol. And, you know, and he gets the spirit of Christmas past and Christmas present, Christmas future, and that just scared the thunder out of him, and he fell in a ditch, and oh, my gosh. And then there he is, and he's awake. It's in the morning, and he's still alive, and he's holding on, and he's saying, I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. So whatever your past was, forget about it. When you got saved, God said, it's gone. It's over. You're not going to have to live through that anymore. I worked with American Airlines for about 18 years. I was an airplane mechanic, and I was a pastor now later on. And they contacted me and said, hey, Joe, we're going to have a dinner. I was at some place on Long Island. I was living in New Jersey then. And anyway, I went to this dinner. There were all these guys there. Some worked at LaGuardia Airport, who I knew. Some worked at Kennedy Airport, who I knew. Some worked at Newark Airport. And, you know, now I hadn't seen these men since before I got saved. And all they knew about me of what I was what I was. Hey, Joe, remember the time when you said, I said, oh. Hey, Joe, remember the time when we, I said, oh. And you know, and I left that thing that day and I said, well, I'm not going there anymore. That's for sure. But I left sad and glad. I was sad to see, is that what I was really all about? What a mess I was. But I was glad that I'm not that man anymore. You know, we can look at this, and the title of my message today is called, How Big Is Your Windshield? How big is your windshield? Let's read a passage of scripture first. Let's go to Isaiah 43, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19. Familiar passage of scripture. You'll know when you hear it. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. You know, and I look at that and we're changed. We're not the person that we were. And it took us a while after we got saved to kind of get the old stinking thinking out of our heads. But thank God for the Word of God that renews our mind. So, you know, we have the Word of God and we learn some things in there. Yeah, but how big is the windshield on your car? How big is your rearview mirror? Wouldn't it be silly if you're driving down the road and you want to get to where you're going and you're just driving and you're looking in the rearview mirror? Forget about it. You're not going to get there. You're going to run into things. You're going to have trouble. But the windshield in front of you shows you all of the options in front of you. When you become a child of God, you don't need to look in the rearview mirror of your life anymore. You've got a windshield in front of you with all the options, and God's going to say, turn left over here, turn right over there. You know, I've got a GPS inside of me. It's God's positioning spirit. Amen. Yes, and you know, you have God's DNA abiding in you, divine nature abiding. You're a changed man. You're a changed woman. You're a changed person. You're not who you were. You know, and if you're brand new here, or maybe you're not born again yet, if you're here, I got good news for you. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the past does not exist anymore. Not for him. He says it's over with. It's behind you. You don't have to live that way ever, ever, ever again. But the windshield in front of us gives us all the options ahead of us laid out. I mean, no matter where we go, we're going to see exactly where we are going. Amen. You know, your windshield shows you the things yet to come. And you have options. And when you're being led by God, this whole thing about the windshield is God showing you how to go and where to go and how to live and what to be. What's in the rearview mirror is only where you've been. You're not there anymore, so you can't count on that anymore. But, you know, we look at that, and our rearview mirror only shows you where you've been based on your remembrance. But, you know, when those guys, I was with those guys at that luncheon, there were things they said I did and said, tell you the truth, some of it, I didn't remember it. And I said, really? I said, yeah, man, come on, man, you were there, you and me, man, we were there. I said, gee, that's funny, I don't believe it. They thought I was in denial. No, I did not remember it. They said, oh, all right, Cat. You know, Cat, and he's, all right, Cat. You didn't do it, right? You didn't do it, right, Joe? Yeah, no. I said, I'm not saying I didn't do it. If you said I did, I probably did. But no, I don't recall it anymore. And so, you know, the things that are behind you, you don't have to be looking back at those things. You know, your past choices, you look at your back. You look at your past choices. But we're here to encourage you in the victories that God already has destined for you. You know, the older I'm getting, the more and more I'm appreciating God more and more and more, because my life with him has been beautiful. Amen. It was beautiful when I first became a Christian. I was not in ministry. I didn't know I was going to be a minister. God surprised me with that one. Believe me, he did. But the windshield in front of us says, look at all your options of where to go, and you got God in your ear telling you, turn right over there. Go that way. You know, go that way. Go that way. So when we look at this, we have choices that we have to make. The clothes we wear, the food we eat, where we live, what job we work. We have all those choices that we've made in front of us. You know, from when I was, I don't know if I was in the sixth grade or the seventh grade, I knew I wanted to be an airplane mechanic. Man, I knew that as a child. So I made up my mind, I'm not going to go to college. I want to learn to be an airplane mechanic. So I joined the Air Force, and I learned about airplanes there. You know, and then when I went home on leave, I liked to fly on American Airlines. And I said, man, I want to work at American Airlines. Yeah, I want to work at American Airlines. You know what? That was God's idea for me to go to American Airlines. So I went to American Airlines, and, you know, and I was right in the will of God, and on my first day on the job, I got struck by lightning. So I act a little screwy, you know. I got hit by lightning. What's your excuse? That's what I said, tell me. You know, they say, you know, you're a little weird. I say, hey, I got hit by lightning. What's your excuse for being weird? And, you know, I wanted to work at American Airlines, and I did. I worked at LaGuardia Airport. Then I transferred over to Kennedy Airport. Then I made the big move. I moved down to Tulsa. And I moved down there to Tulsa, and my thing just went crazy over here. And I'll get back to it. There it is. And I went down there, and I get saved down in Tulsa. Where do I get saved? On the job. They put me in a shop, and the shop was shut down. Nothing would work except a Bible in a desk drawer that I read, and I got saved. And then as time goes by, God says, leave your job. Go back to New Jersey and start a church. Okay, Camarilla, where am I supposed to go? But no, I didn't say that. I did it. I went. And so sometimes you don't know the steps that God has you, but you're on a highway, and if you're looking through the front windshield, looking through the front windshield is indicative of looking into what does God have for me? Where am I supposed to go and where be? And sometimes he will lead you there, unbeknownst to you, to have an encounter with him. I mean, I went to American Airlines. I worked in a shop. I think I told you about this a few years ago. The whole shop, they couldn't get anything to work. I read the Bible and I got saved. And then I got called back to my regular job again and all the machines worked. Okay, God, thank you. You know, you could have done this sooner. But no, I was hard-headed. But God is patient and kind. And he leads us along the way. But, you know, we have a windshield that we're driving down the road in. Okay, we're looking at through the windshield. How many of you, like this morning I drove down and, you know, there was cars kicking up stuff on the road off the highway and you need windshield wipers to keep it clean. Well, you know, God's got plans on how you can keep your windshield clean so you can see where you're going. And let's look at some scripture on that. These are godly choices that we make and that we that helps set our course. And one of the things is, let's look over at 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 14. And verse 2, I like verse 2. The Pastor Jay was talking about the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah, when we don't know what else to say, we don't know what else to do, you said all you can say in prayer, pray in the Holy Ghost. I remember a guy came to me and said, I was with some of you guys praying in tongues. I don't know what you were talking about. I said, well, don't worry about it. We weren't talking to you. Because the word of God says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. So we're talking to God, and we're exchanging divine secrets, is what he's doing, from his spirit to our spirit. Did you know that the devil, he can't read your mind, but he can give you thoughts to think on. God already knows your thoughts. And isn't it good to know oftentimes that the thoughts that you have are his thoughts? You know, like for instance, the day I got saved, I'm driving down the road, I'm going home from work, and I had a thought, something abstract, said, you're never going to drink again. And for a long time I said, yeah, I'm never going to drink again. But then later on I realized, wait a minute, that was not my thought. It was my thought, I would have been thinking, I'm never going to drink again. But what I heard was, you're never going to drink again. And I said, oh, wow, I didn't have a drinking problem. I got drunk, yes, I was lost, I admit that. Sometimes I overindulge, I drank too much. But you know, the Lord said, you're never going to drink again. So I didn't. And I didn't know that was God talking to me. But when God tells you something, listen to me. When he tells you something to do, he'll give you the ability to get it done. Because in him we live and move and have our being. So we read here that when we pray in this praying in the Spirit, that's a key to success as a Christian with God. I'm not saying that it's the only way, but there's a lot of people that don't speak in tongues and they've lived great lives. Billy Graham did not speak in tongues. He had a wonderful career and life of soul winning. But if we move on down, verse 14 and 15, the same chapter here, we read in verse 14 and 15, if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. You know, what this is telling us over here is that in the Holy Spirit, we have fellowship with God. Divine secrets are being exchanged. And not only that, praying in the Holy Ghost does a lot for us. It keeps us in tune with God. You know, I know Pastor Jay mentioned some things this morning about prayer. I have been praying earnestly. Suzanne would tell you, I'm up earnestly. I am praying and praying and praying earnestly for our country because I don't like the Muslim invasion. I got a witness on that. Thank you. I don't like it. They don't like us. In fact, they hate us. So why are they here? If you get enough of them in politics, not preaching politics, you get enough of them in politics and they become the government. And we don't want that. We are one nation under God, right? Amen. We are one nation under God. So I've been praying every day. And as I'm praying, I know, you ever get the feeling when you get to praying in the Holy Spirit, you just know that you're not alone. You can just sense, I'm part of a great crowd, like, you know, in Hebrews, you're a great cloud of witnesses, but we're here on earth, and we're praying for our nation, we're praying for our leaders, we're praying for wisdom, we're praying that they'll do the right thing, that they'll praying that they stop this madness. I hate to say it, but 3.5 million people did not vote in New York City on that mayor's election. 3.5 million did not come out to vote. And I'll just leave it at that. What you don't, well, Joe, just be quiet. Well, let's look over here. You know, I was talking about it before, Jude 20. Jude 20 says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The next verse says, keeping yourself in the love of God. You know, your prayer life keeps the windshield clean. You need that. You know, we drive in our car and, you know, we want to spritz up on the thing and we press a little button, you know, and you know, boop, 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 and you keep it nice and clean. We need to stay full with the fluid of the Holy Ghost in our life to keep the windshield clean. Amen. Keeps the windshield of life clean so that you're following the course that God had preordained to be there for you. I mean, you know, God's got a sense of humor. He saved me. I've been saying for years, if I was me, I wouldn't have saved me. If I was God, I wouldn't have saved me. But he is long-suffering. His will is that none should perish and that all come to repentance. All. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. You know, I got saved reading the Gospel of Matthew. I had never read the Bible before. I had seen just about every Jesus movie they made. You know, like I read out of the King James Bible because that's how they talk in heaven. Right? And I mean, I watched all these Jesus movies right through the resurrection. Did I get saved? No. Well, you see, the thing about it is this, the Word of God is alive. And when I read the Gospel of Matthew, I got to the part where I'm reading that he's on his way to Calvary, carrying the cross. He took a beating and all of that, and I'm getting mad. I'm saying, what are they doing to him? I know what they're going to do. I know what happens here. See, you can know about Jesus, but you have to know him. I didn't know him yet, but I knew about him. I said, they're going to kill him. I said, this is not fair. He's getting shanghaied like a Humphrey Bogart movie here, you know? I said, dear God, they're going to kill him. I know they are. I know what happens here. I know what happens here, and I'm getting all anxious because I know what's going to happen, but I can't stop reading, and I'm reading this Bible, and finally I read, and they crucified him. And when they crucified him, I died right there because the Word is alive. Word of God is alive. It lives in us. It thrives in us. It's anxious for us to move. You know, Suzanne and I, we live up in Queensbury. We started a Bible study in our home. We're meeting twice a month right now, and it's called the Faith Lift Bible Study. Give people a faith lift. That's what we need. You know, faith is the answer. Faith in God. Faith that you're in his will. And when the windshield is kept clean, you're not too busy occupied looking back on what's happened in the past. You know that God is leading me. He's taking me somewhere. In the beginning, when I first got saved, maybe you experienced this, and give me an amen if you did. When I first got saved, the day I got saved, that very day, I had a thought in my head. And the thought was, life as I have known it is over. God's got something new for me. Isn't that the truth? The old man dies. So whatever you did in the past, whatever those guys were, hey, Joe, remember when you... No, I'm not that guy anymore. I'm not that guy anymore. You know, sometimes, Pastor Jake, Donald Trump is saved. He is. Billy Graham led him to the Lord in the prayer of salvation. That's good news. I know he's rough and tough and gruff around the edges. Well, that's something he needs to work on. But he's tough, and it's the government today and the politics, it's tough business. It's tough. You got to be tough. You can't give up any space because they'll trample you down if you don't. And so he's tough and he's gruff and he says things that we wouldn't say. But he's talking to a crowd that we're not talking to. Are you hearing me now? He's talking to a crowd that's insistent on having things their way. But he does believe in our Lord. And I thank God for that. What I don't like is when I'm on Facebook and people write things on there. I could never support Donald Trump. I know he's a Christian, but look what he used to do. Oh, come on. How would you like it if we said that about you? How would you like it if we don't like you based on what you did 40 years ago? Ah, speaking of 40 years ago. I remember there was a lady I knew. Her and her husband-to-be were going to get married, so they wanted to get an apartment. It was in New Jersey. What do you think? And they go to this house. It's a two-family house, and the owner lady downstairs on the first floor, she's this nice little Italian lady. And she finds out that the girl is, oh, you're Italian, isn't that nice? And they're talking, you know, and they like the apartment. We're getting married in another month, but we want to take the apartment. Anyway, in the course of conversation, a name comes up. This young woman, her aunt's name comes up, and this other nice little lady, nice and comfortable, says, wow, wait a minute. You say so-and-so is your aunt? She says, yeah, she's my mother's sister. You know what she did it to me 40 years ago. This is a true story. And she went through the whole story like it just happened. And she ended it with, nobody that's related to her is going to live under my roof. So you and your husband, get out of here. You don't get at that apartment. 40 years ago. And the woman had a meltdown emotionally. I don't know if the story is true or not, but that story was true. But the story I'm going to tell you now, but we're a little girl. She tells her mother all the time, Jesus comes in my room every night when I go to bed, and we talk for a while, and then I go to sleep. And she's telling the mother that this happens all the time. So her mother, she tells the pastor in their church about it. So she says, I don't know what to do. She keeps telling me this. I can't tell the difference. So the priest says, I'll figure it out for you. So he talks to the little girl. I don't know if this story is true, but you'll get it. So Jesus comes to see you every night. Oh, yeah. Yes, Pastor, he comes in my room. We talk for a little while, and then I go to sleep, and everything is good. Oh, that's nice. You know what? Next time you're talking to him, mention my name and ask him if he remembers the last sin I committed that I confessed. So about a few weeks later, the priest and the little girl said, did you ask Jesus what was the last sin I confessed, what I did? So he said he can't remember. Don't let the past, right? Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. You've got the options in front of you. I love the Christian life. Oh, I when I was a kid, how much time do I have left? Oh, we're okay. When I was a kid, I was in like the sixth grade. I went to Catholic school, Catholic grammar school, and there was one month, I think I was in the sixth or seventh grade, we're going to have career day. Everybody's going to get a chance to tell everybody in advance. You're going to get up and talk about what you want to be when you grow up. So all these kids go, oh, when I grow up, they're all nervous, you know. And my day comes, I wanted to be an airplane mechanic. So I got a big poster board I put up, you know, on the little thing where the chalk is. You know, I got the pointer, and I'm saying, I'm going to be an airplane mechanic. Here, this airplane here, it flies such and such feet high. It goes this fast. It has this big engine. It carries this many people, da 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 da. All this has a retractable landing gear, something. And I'm going on and on and on. Finally, the nun says, okay, Joseph, I think we got it. I said, oh, but I have more. She says, no, that's okay. We got the point. That was very good. Thank you. You can sit down. And so I'm going to sit down. She says, oh, and see me before you go home today. Now, I don't know if any of you went to Catholic school, but none tells you I want to see you after school. You're in trouble. And I thought, uh-oh, what did I do? Oh, no. And here I am, this kid, I don't know, sixth or seventh grade. How many of you guys remember the hats you put on your head? The flaps come down, you put them in the meat, you snap it. I got that thing on. You still got one, you said? No. And anyway, so I get my school bag. You know, we all have school bags. And you know, I walk up there, and she's sitting at the desk. And I said, sister, you wanted to see me? She looks up, and she took off her glasses. She said, Joseph, my goodness. I have never in all my years had a student get up and talk in front of the class as comfortable as you did. weren't you nervous? I said, no. She said, that was wonderful. I mean, you had my attention. You had everyone's attention. It was great. Wow, you're getting an A+ on this. Well, you know, the thing was, it's not that I was supposed to be an airplane mechanic. I was going to be a preacher. But God will let you go through the channels with Him. With Him. Your journey is with the Lord. He is our light and our salvation. Amen. He lights the path up for us. He's there. You know, we don't have to live in broken dreams anymore either. So if it didn't work out, all right, it didn't work, you know. But here I am. I'm still going. I'm still going. You know, the armor of God, there's nothing on their back because you don't turn around. You just forge forward with the Lord. And I like that. I taught in the Bible study how the soldiers that they saw, Paul likened it to the military arm of the Roman army. But when they went into battle, they weren't dressed like they were in parade. They had boots on with big spikes in them. And when they would get into combat, they could dig their spikes in, and it was hard to get them to back up, and they're dug in. And if they knock you down, they just stomp you while they're going past you and kill you with the spikes in that boot. Rick Renner taught on that. Rick Renner taught on that like 30 years ago, and I still remember that. But as we see all of this here, Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. But what it was really saying is have the God kind of faith, or have faith like God. Believe everything that He says. God can't lie. It's impossible. My goodness. Many of us, you know, we grew up and we got bad information from this one or that one, you know, and it took us in the wrong direction. God won't take you in the wrong direction. When He says it in His Word, believe it and act on it. You know, there's the four easy steps about walking with God. Hear the Word, believe the Word, speak the Word, and act on the Word. You can't go wrong with that. And you have His nature in you, taking you. And by walking with Him in these ways, it keeps your windshield clear. Don't be concerned about what's behind you anymore. It's over with. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's behind you. You can't change the past. Can't change it. But you can't forge on forward with God because He's given you a new life. Born again. Whoa. We have a new life, and I still am enjoying it. I've been with the Lord. I got saved on September 1st, 1981. And it changed my whole life completely. I was like Scrooge. I'm not the man I was. Not the man I was. From the day I got saved, I was a new man. And I knew I was new. Because He was living in me, and I, you know what's great about the windshield being clear? You know, you can see God in all things. You know that what you're seeing is He's seeing it with you. He's leading you. Remember, He's the one leading and guiding you. I mean, God moved me out from here to there to there to there. Made me go in the Air Force, go in the military to learn about airplanes. Then I worked with United Airlines. Then I moved away from that because I wanted to go to American. I went to American Airlines. Boom, 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 boom. I told you, first day on the job, I get hit by lightning. Devil didn't want me to be what God wanted me to be. I walked away from it without even an injury, nothing. I should have been dead. I'd have gone straight to hell. But God, who's rich in mercy. Huh? Think about it for a few minutes. Not too long, but just, there were times in your life you could have or should have been dead. But you didn't. You didn't. Here you are, serving God, praising Him. Good worship team here today. Amen. Good being here with them. And, you know, we look at that. We have faith like God. I want to look at my time. I'll have you out of here by about 2:15, 2:20. All right, let's move on because I don't have much more. I'm looking at this. Let's look at Psalm 133. You know, when things go crazy, praise the Lord. When things are going good, praise the Lord. When things are going okay, praise the Lord. When you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, praise the Lord. Devil doesn't know what to do with a praising saint. Did you know that? He don't know what to do. He threw something at you to knock the wind out of you, and you get up praising God. Rocky Marciano. 49-0. Where's he from? Boston, right outside the area there. Yeah. You know, he won the heavyweight championship from J- Jersey Joe Walcott, another Jersey guy, you know, from Jersey Joe Walcott, and he knocked Rocky down in the early rounds, second or third round, but he got up, and then in the later rounds, Rocky knocked him out and won the heavyweight championship. They asked Joe Walcott, they said, Joe, when did you feel the fight slipped out of your control? Because you seemed to have control up to a point. He said, when did you know that you're losing it? He said, when I knocked him down. And I said, well, when you knocked him down, he said, yeah, the look in his eyes when he was getting up, I knew I was a dead man. So you could be like Rocky Marciano. Huh? So the devil knocks you down. Get up. Get back up. Say, you might have knocked me down, but you didn't win the fight. It ain't over yet. And it ain't over till it's over. Because I'm driving down the road of life that God has given me with a clear windshield. My course is set. My God is... You know, they made a movie, God is my co-pilot. No. You know, he's your pilot. He's your pilot. Let me close on this thing here. Psalm 133. For behold our good and her pleasantness. Well, what we need is godly fellowship. Being in church. It's not more. It's not just you're giving your nod to go, okay, Lord, here I am, you know, it's Sunday. No, you're here to worship the Lord. You're here to inquire in the temple. You're here to worship God. You're here to sing praises to him. Amen. You're here because you want to be around other believers. There's power and strength in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon. See, you're covered. It's running right down all over you, like the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Amen. And you're gathered with people here. You know, you're going to see all. You're going to see each other in heaven. You're going to see each other in heaven. You're going to see lost loved ones in the Lord. You're going to see them in heaven. You know, I've been reading a book called Imagine Heaven. And this guy, John Burke, he did a study of people who had near-death experiences where they had an experience where they went to heaven and they died, but they went to heaven because they were a believer. There was one story that stood out really strong. It was a young woman. She was only about 21 years old, and she was born blind. Born blind. Didn't go blind, was born blind. And she was a good singer, and she was singing in a place, and she was a believer. And these guys said, well, you need a ride home. We'll give you a ride home. You don't have to call for a cab. She said, oh, okay, thank you. So she got in a van with them, and they were in a terrible accident, and she was killed in this accident. And all of a sudden, she was out of her body, and she could see. Wow. She said, what is this? She could see. And then she went on up to heaven. And you know, and she's up there, and she's seeing people up there that all know her. And these two young women around her age walk up to her, and she knew who they were, and they knew her. And what it was that she went to the school for the blind with these two, but they were sickly and they died. And she said, "I can see now." And they said, "I know we can see too. We can see everything." But then the Lord told her, "I want you to go back. I want you to tell people what you saw here." Because you were born blind. And she came back and she continued being blind. So it's not like, and she could tell them things that, how do you explain it if you were born blind? She was walking in heaven and she knew that that was grass. Oh, so that's what green looks like. Wow. So you know, this whole thing is real. God blots out our past, gives us a whole new future. And that includes a whole future with him in glory. For eternity, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Amen. And so we see that in here, how good it is to dwell in. You're going to see people that you knew up there. That's how real this whole thing is. You know, it's all here. Joshua 1:8. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. Then I have one more place to go, and we could all go to have lunch. No, I don't mean all of us. You know, together. No. Joshua 1:8. You want to keep your windshield clean? All right, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua is about to go into a whole new way of living now. And God tells him in verse 9, and he tells him in verse 9, Have not I commanded you? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And God is with us wherever we go. I one time I was at a real bad point in life, and I said, God, I don't even know what's going on anymore. I'm not a pastor anymore now. I retired. Well, I'm okay about that, because you were with me to process me through that. My kids are all grown and gone, and they're doing good. They have families, and my wife has passed away. She's gone to be with you. Who am I? What am I? I don't even know who I am right now. I don't know. If any of you have gone through the grief thing, it's crazy. But just hold tight. God's comfort will give you strength. It did for me again and again, and praise God Almighty. God is a good God. And I said, Lord, I don't even know who am I? What am I? I heard him. He spoke to me. He said, you're my son, my child. Didn't matter anything else. He called me his son. You're sons and daughters of God. And your past is blotted out. You've got a windshield in front of you. Keep it clean. Keep it clean. Stay on God's side. We had a teacher down at Rhema. I went to Rhema and graduated in 85. I had a teacher, Mel Pipe, and he always used to say, when he's talking about tough things, now remember, stay on God's side, meaning just look to God all the time. What does he say in his word about what you're going through and all of that? And so Joshua is taking on an enormous task, but he says, I'm going to be with you. And so that cleared his windshield. Okay. Clear the windshield. I'm going forward. I want to close with one more thing. I told you I won't keep you here until 2:30. Amen. Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Wait a minute. I got to get it. Here it is, Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 150. It's a short psalm, but it's indicative of something very good. Bad times come. What do? We praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm 150. It only has a few verses. I'm going to close with this today. Is that okay? Anybody getting anything out of this today? Any of you had some things that came along and they're bugging you? Well, keep the windshield clear. Just keep it clear. One of the best ways, devil doesn't know what to do with a praising saint. He don't know what to do with you. He wants you to get all beaten down and feel sorry for yourself. No! Devil spoke to me after Kitty passed away, and Suzanne knew my wife. They knew Suzanne used to work with us in our church. let me just keep going. Praising the Lord is the important thing. Praise always changes things. Devil doesn't know what to do with you. He gives you a beating. You get up. Look him square in the eye. He tried talking to me about some things that happened. I told the devil, shut up in the name of Jesus. You can't talk to me. I'm not in any kind of covenant with you. Who do you think you are to talk to me? Amen. God just told me that I'm his son. You're my son. You're my child. You're God's son. You're God's child. No matter your age. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Pastor Jay was talking about this before, about the musicians and all that. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. And then if you can't sing and you can't play an instrument, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I think there used to be a song, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Yes, if nothing else, praise the Lord. Robert Schuller had gotten a message about his daughter was in a terrible skiing accident, and they had to amputate her leg. And he and his wife got on an airplane. I know people say this and that about Robert Schuller, but let me tell you this story here. And he was on an airplane going somewhere, and he could barely talk. He couldn't hardly say a word. He was so concerned about what was going on with his daughter. They had to amputate her leg. And finally, he said to his wife, I'll be right back. And he went in the restroom on the airplane, and he got in there, and he could hardly talk. He said, "Hallelujah." Are you hearing me? Yeah. And don't let the past remind you of what you are not now. Amen? Amen. Just keep on walking, keep on talking, keep on believing, keep on praising. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Thank you so much. You're a great bunch of people to talk to today. Appreciate it. If there's anyone here today, you say you haven't made a decision for Christ yet, Pastor Jay is going to help you with that. There's an old country western song that says, "Heaven is just a prayer away." God bless you. Wait, let me say one more thing. Really. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day today.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Good word. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Just thank God for Pastor Joe and Suzanne and for that word. Let's every head be bowed, every eye closed, just praying. If you're a prayer, if you're a believer, just pray. And we never want to end a service without this opportunity. You might be here today and think, you know, I need a new life. I need something changed. You heard Joe's testimony and you heard how he was different and how God changed his life. And you know what? There's testimony after testimony of how God changes people's lives by them receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says for those that are in Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Amen? And so, you know, there's another saying that goes, don't be past possessed, but future focused. Because if you're past possessed, you're going to be held back by that. Some people are just bound by their past and they can't move forward, but God wants you free. Amen? But that begins by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means everybody has broken God's law. And because we've broken the law of God, we're guilty. And because we're guilty, we deserve hell and ultimately lake of fire. But the good news is Jesus came. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as a man, he bore the penalty that you deserve, the penalty that I deserve, so that if we'll receive what he's done for us and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, then old things will indeed be passed away and all things will be made new because it will become a new creation in Christ. You haven't done anything so bad that God cannot forgive because Jesus took all the punishment and all the judgment that you and I deserve so that we could be forgiven. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, lest there be even one here today, and you'd say, I'm not sure that if I were to breathe my last breath, if you're not sure that if your heart would stop beating today, that you would leave your body, and you're not sure that if you did, you'd be in the presence of God. The Bible says you can know you have eternal life. And you know why you can know you have eternal life? Because it's not based on works which you have done. It's based on placing faith in the work that he has done and receiving the gift of eternal life. You don't work for a gift, you receive a gift. And it's called the gift of eternal life. And so as I said, lest there be even one here today, you've never received that gift of eternal life. It's for you. It's for everybody to receive that gift. So would you have enough guts to say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to lift my hand so I can see it, but also more importantly, the Lord sees it and knows you're serious about receiving Christ. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward, but we're all going to pray together, lest there be even one here today. And you'd say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anybody at all? Just lift your hand so I can see it, and we're all going to pray together, lest there be one, anybody at all. All right, I'm not seeing any hands, but we're all going to pray this prayer, supporting those that may have those that were supposed to raise their hand, but also for those that might watch later on YouTube so that they know that they can receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? This is based on Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Let's pray this prayer if you believe it. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he's risen from the dead. And so today, I repent of sin. I turn from sin. And Lord, I turn to you and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Lord, come into my life today. You are alive. You are risen. Come into my life. And from this day forward, with your help, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I don't promise that you are saved. I don't promise that you're a new creation because I don't know if you meant it. But if you meant it, then the Bible says you're saved. The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. The Bible says, as I said, old things are gone. Your sins have been washed away, Revelation 1:5. He's washed us from our sins in His own blood. And so now you're set on a new course. Now you start looking through the windshield and look forward and don't let the past keep you back. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.